I put up a few videos that I had made. And two guys, Josh and Ricky, who started the website collegehumor.com, which is a funny website for college students. And between them, they didn't have a lot of web experience. So they asked me to come on to put my videos on the site and to help with design and to help with programming eventually. And so that was in 2000. And then as the months went on, I basically said, I want to be part of this company because I'm doing a lot of the technical work. So I was brought on as CTO and became a partner in the company. I have no business training. I don't claim to be a business expert or to know anything about business. All I can say is that I've been closely involved with the direction of College Humor and our t-shirt site, Busted Tees, and now Vimeo.
Okay. Are there already web stars at Vimeo? You find them on MySpace or YouTube? So what are the hottest, coolest web stars everyone should know, or Vimeo stars?
Vimeo is still pretty small compared to a lot of the other sites. And the way that we organize it is based around people, not so much around a chart of the most popular stuff. So right now on Vimeo, it's not very likely to go there and see a bunch of stars pushed in your face. Instead, it's about sort of discovering things on your own. So sort of going for a stroll through the park, and maybe you see a little leaf falling that you think is nice, and you look at it.
But now you will talk about fame and what is the difference between web fame and mass media fame.
Yes.
So we are very curious. Please.
Okay. Fame. Oh, wait, I forgot my notes. I would like to extend a very special thank you to Hotel Landgraf for leaving a notepad inside of my hotel room. Okay, first person I want to talk about is Nicole Richie. Does anybody know who this person is? Somebody named Nicole Richie?
No.
No? That's interesting. In America, she's very famous. It's okay that you don't know her, because that probably means you have healthy minds in this country. I wanted to load up this picture of her. I saw this, this was in a magazine stand in New York City where I live. And it's this is not graffiti, this is the design of the magazine. It says, I don't have a clue why I'm famous either. Nicole Richie is very, very famous, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly which contributions to humanity she's responsible for. I'm not expecting people to cure cancer. I'm talking about contributions such as creating interesting artwork or starting a cool business, or being an interesting singer, something other than just being famous. Her father is Lionel Richie, who is a famous musician, and she was on the television show called The Simple Life with Paris Hilton a few years ago, where she and Paris were put into a variety of real-life situations, such as working on a farm, and it was a big clown act because they were unable to do basic work. Nicole Richie doesn't understand her own fame, and I think that a lot of Americans don't really understand fame either. We're surrounded by it. I can't speak about Europe at all. I can only speak about America. I can speak about New York City. Everywhere you go, it's fame. The media, every website, every magazine, every TV show, it's all about what's hot. It's about what's going on right now that everybody's talking about. And in doing so, they talk about it more. So you'll have something happens, A small website writes about it. Then a small magazine says, look what they're talking about. Then a big magazine says, look at what these guys are talking about. And it becomes this sort of snowball effect. I want to show you a video that I think represents this pretty well.
When your insurance is in sync, you can roll with anything. Travel.
Da, 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 da. Okay. Okay, so what we have is a media industry in America that makes its decisions on what is valuable based not on excellence of some sort, based not on any sort of actual value judgment or criteria, based solely on how famous something already is. So this creates a system that just keeps getting bigger and bigger, snowballing out of control, and it doesn't possess a mind behind it. It's a mindless system. It's an automatic mindless system that works without any people behind it taking a stance and saying, I think that this is good and other people should see it. I want to show you the extension of that. Right now, at least with magazines and editors who say, I think we should do an article about things that are popular right now, at least in those cases you have someone, you have some human involved in the process saying, well, maybe we should do what everybody else is doing. YouTube takes this to a logical extension, and you can observe the results, the videos page, which removes human decision making from the equation and takes algorithms to determine what people should see. On YouTube, when something is popular, it gets on the videos page and it becomes more popular. But in this case, you don't even have somebody deciding which of the most popular stuff should be featured. It's just automatically everything that is dumped in here. So you have a kitty cat song, you have celebrity commentary, you have hot girls flashing their breasts, you have something from, I don't know, is this Polish television? I don't know what this is. You have something in maybe Japanese. There's nobody who thinks that this is what any one person should be watching. This doesn't suit my tastes. I doubt there's anybody in this room who wants to see Soulja Boy and 50 Cent and also wants to see the real Rudy Giuliani and also wants to see this Japanese cell phone video. This is taking human judgment completely out of the equation and instead allowing a mindless mob to determine what everybody should be seeing. So a lot of people might look at this and say, oh, well, now the people are in control. This is democracy. This isn't democracy, it's anarchy. This is mob rule. This is chaos. This is poison for our brains, in my opinion. I think that if our cultural diet is prepared through a mindless process, the result is going to be brain death by starvation. The underlying problem here is that media is poorly organized. We have put so much faith into algorithms and to the aggregate collective decisions of a bunch of strangers that we no longer have any sort of vision involved in media. And that's kind of screwed up. If we don't have individuals making decisions about what to see, that creates this really screwed up system where you have people making things on one end, people consuming things on the other end, and just a giant mass of chaos in between. So the ability to pair together the stars with the fans who actually want to be connected to each other is almost impossible amidst all of these lists of what's popular, who's hot, and computer algorithms. I think it should be closer to what a bedroom is like. When you're inside of your own room, you're in total control. You can choose furniture that you want, you can paint the walls, you can put nice pictures up, you can create an extension of your own values in the physical environment that you live. It's your own private space. If you have a roommate and you live with somebody else, I'm sorry that you don't know how much of a joy it is to have your own bedroom that you're in control of. I think that our media needs to follow that same pattern of you being in control of your environment. We exert control over our bodies, over our clothes. We exert control over where we live. Why don't we exert control over our own minds and the media that is constantly coming into them? I think that the power of word of mouth, not this sort of page. I'm sorry that this, let me hide this. It's disgusting. Scheiße. I think that word of mouth, specifically a friend telling a friend about something, is an extremely powerful tool, and it scales. Everybody has friends. Everybody has people that they trust to make suggestions and to point in the direction of something interesting. I'm not talking about having a friend who tells you exactly what to listen to, exactly what to watch, but just a network of people informing each other on what they think is cool. This, on a large scale, can be very, very beneficial and doesn't necessitate creating these algorithms to compile these lists of what's popular. What's popular, okay, I can see it being useful to maybe let you know what everybody's thinking about as, you know, just academically. But as the primary basis for your decision-making of what you, of the media that you consume, it's nowhere near as good as word of mouth. I think that the result of lots of people communicating through word of mouth is a much healthier relationship between the creator, or the star, and the fans. And I think that we can get to a point where the average creator will have a small audience of fans, but that those fans will be extremely dedicated and passionate about that star. I think that the availability of these sort of smaller fan bases, these more passionate fan bases, will lead to more satisfied artists because they're answering to not the entire media landscape, not the entire country, but just to a few people that they maybe even have personal relationships with. There are a lot of artists on the internet now who are also, you know, skilled programmers and entrepreneurs who are creating a small industry around themselves and don't need the help of the existing corrupt and confusing record industry to guarantee their survival. I personally have experienced this myself. I've had some degree of fame even since I was in college. It's nothing incredible. I'm not a famous person. But what's amazing is that if one person thinks I'm famous, then in his mind, I'm famous. Let me show you a video I made when I was in college. This is called Bus Dodge 2000. I made this when I was screwing around with After Effects to do some special effects. And I believe it's loading. If Flash isn't installed on this computer, it's going to be an embarrassment for me. So I'd made this video, and it circulated around my school, which was RIT in Rochester, New York, a tech school. And it was, you can see the parking lot of the school in it, and so it became popular.
Is that good?
So, the funny thing that happened was a few weeks after I made this, I went to a party at my school, and a guy asked for my autograph. And I was like, what? I'm not famous? Like, what is he thinking? Does he think I'm like some celebrity filmmaker who happens to be at the school? But it didn't matter that I wasn't actually famous to a wide audience. What mattered was that I was famous to him. Seeing me in person at that party was like meeting a star, at least for, you know, those few weeks after he saw the video. It meant a lot to him. But it's difficult for something like this video, which has lots of appeal to a small audience, to reach that small audience when we're living in a culture where everybody is force-fed the same list of what is popular. And everybody gets excited about the internet as a way to connect everybody in the long tail and everything will find its niche. But we're still making these pages that have what's most popular on them. And instead of people exercising their own judgment and finding what's useful to them, they go to this page and they are just piled upon with content that everybody else thinks is good. And so you still have the mob determining what everybody else sees. I think that social hierarchies in many ways are affected by media. Your relationship with the alpha, people that you look up to, or the people that you obey, is usually tied into the media in some way. The president, other powerful figures, they use the media to inject themselves into your brain to it's almost like they're tricking you into thinking that they're more important or they're more authoritative or they're more accomplished or they're more intelligent than they actually are. I think that it's our duty to make sure that the media can be brought back under our control and that we can make our own individual decisions about what's important, and we can create playlists and we can curate videos, articles, all of these things on our own terms instead of relying on the mass supposed collective intelligence to reach these conclusions for us. There's a lot of smart people in this room, a lot of people who have a tremendous amount of intelligence, but there's no collective intelligence super brain that's going to solve our problems. There's no collective intelligence that's going to save us from our impending collective disasters. And that's it. To tie it to Vimeo, I think that this website embodies the principles that I'm talking about today. Thank you for listening. Thank you.